This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 18th of May. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Lay it on with a trowel.
I will do. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
You've had a bit of a problem, haven't you?
I have. And I kind of... It's one thing to not be well, and I'm perfectly well, actually. I'm very well, except for my post-AstraZeneca vaccine reaction. And I would say to anybody else listening, you know, do have your vaccine. It's essential. I've been a bit unlucky. Maybe I had a bad batch. I don't know. But it's not the being ill. It's the sort of chasing around the different departments of the blimmin' NHS. And I love them. The staff are lovely and they work tirelessly. But, I had a little blood test on Friday. And I was very lucky that a doctor who'd retired, Sandra Chandler, she's so thorough. And I spoke to her in the middle of Dunnell Mill, because that's what they do now. They just phone
ring
you. Any time. I said, what time will it be? Morning or afternoon? You know, give me a clue.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't say.
They're like Hermes delivery drivers now, GPs, aren't they? Yeah. We'll be with you on the phone sometime between 8 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon.
But why is that? Yeah. Surely they know that they spend, 5 minutes with each and maybe 10 minutes with each, you know, the same as when you're in a surgery. So I said, will it be morning or afternoon? Anyway, she phoned me in the middle of Dunnell Mill, and that was nice. So I sat down on a bunch of towels and put my feet up on a trolley and started telling her about my ailments.
Right.
And she was very good, and she said, I need to see you at 5:30. But, you know, I've been having these headaches and blood clots in my nose for 8 weeks.
Since you had the jab, yeah.
Yeah, for 8 weeks. Yeah. And only now, from the old school GP, am I being seen.
Yeah.
And so she sent me for a little blood test, which was about 5:30 on Thursday evening. It's called a D-edema, and it shows my levels were raised at risk of a blood clot, which we all know is, you know, and I read that. I sent you the link, didn't I?
You did.
It was scary, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So then she sent me to Margate Casualty, which is a 22-mile drive.
Mm.
I hadn't had lunch. I've been with the doctor since 5. I got there about 7:30, took a little flask and a book on Africa. I was the poshest person there, darling. I was the only person reading a book.
Yeah.
I was the only person with my own flask.
Oh, yeah.
So for 8 hours, I watched them. There was a water machine. I sent you a photo.
Yeah.
So the patients, who are all ill, presumably, are shuffling up to the water thing. They're grabbing a wad of plastic cups, right? And they're touching every cup.
I have to tell you, listener, I got a blow-by-blow account of this for the 8.5 hours that she was in A&E. And I got a photograph every 10 seconds. They've touched this, you know, without cleaning it afterwards. No wonder there's infections in this hospital.
And then they all touch the same button.
Yeah.
But the car park barrier is up, so nobody touches the button. It's free to go in, you don't have to pay. Admirable, I thought. How good, that's very COVID safe. And then you go in and they're all touching the same button. 8 hours that machine was not cleaned. A cleaner came along, she cleaned the loos, she swabbed a bit of the floor, not up to my standards, and but never looked at the machine. And there's a pack of wipes on the machine, you'll see on that photo. Nobody used them. I mean, you know, the patients are just as bad, because those wipes were there for anyone to use and they didn't. And then I was told, how long have we got? Then I was told I had an ECG and all this blah de blah and bloods and blah de blah. Then I saw a lovely Nigerian doctor. He was very sweet, but he didn't listen to what I said.
Yeah.
So I said, I had the jab on the 5th of March. He said, so 2 weeks ago. I said, no, not May, 5th of March. He couldn't fathom that I'd had it so long ago and was still having problems. Mm. You know, and he didn't listen to a couple of, you know, things about my thyroid, because I had to tell him.
I have a great deal of empathy with this doctor already.
He did ask. He was very nice. I was
what did you say? Listen to every back copy of the Business Bunker Show and you can get my medical records from that.
Yeah, because he wanted to know. But I said to him, then I started talking about Bosun Amofoye, who's my dear friend in Nigeria, who's on Channels TV. And we started chatting about Nigeria. But then he said, you need blood thinners to stop this clot that possibly may happen from the AstraZeneca. So I went out and a nurse jabbed me in the stomach And then she said to me, this is 2 a.m. Then she said, right, you can go home now and they'll phone you at 9 a.m. So I'm texting the new husband before I drive home another 22 miles after 8 hours sitting there reading my African book. Finished it, by the way. It was great. And I had a couple of hot chocolates from the machine, but I was very careful how I touched it.
That brings us to the end of another British Bunker show. Thank you for joining us.
I texted my new husband, who was, of course, snoring his head off with the dog. And I said, look, there's going to be a phone call at 9 a.m. I'm not going to get home till 4 a.m. Please, can you monitor my phone? I crawled out of bed about 10, feeling a bit sluggish. And he said, nobody's phoned. So I said, I can't be asked. I cannot be asked to chase it up. And then about 1:30, one of my friends, Sarah Maloney, who you've met at my house and lunch, she's the inspector at Canterbury, food inspector. She said, Jules, you're very precious. You need to follow it up. I said, I can't be asked. Mm-hmm. You know, I've just spent 8 hours. I'm knackered. I was actually worse than before I went to A&E. So I did follow it up. And the woman was very aggressive at Margate. She said, they shouldn't have told you that. There's no way we'd phone you at 9 a.m. The clinic doesn't open until 9 a.m. And I said, OK, well, I need to have an MRI, blah, blah, blah. She said, well, it'll be next Wednesday. So I said, OK. And I said, I have had a jab to thin my blood. What time did you have it? I said, I'm not sure. It was about 2 a.m. Right, you need to do that every 24 hours at exactly the same time. I said, well, that's a bit inconvenient. Who am I going to get to inject me at 2 a.m? I'm not that intimate with my doctors. So she said, oh, you can do it yourself. It's like a jab. I said, well, nobody gave me anything or told me this. So then there's a grand scramble. By this time, it's 5 p.m. I've been on the phone to GPs, secretaries, PAs and Margate. And I had to send my new husband very quickly, jogged round to the pharmacy, which was closing at 5:45, to get these injections, blood thinners, which I haven't used because then when I read the AstraZeneca thing, you cannot have the jab if you're on blood thinners.
Terrible.
It's terrible. Anyway, I'd much rather be here.
Next week on Emergency Ward 10, we'll discuss with Jules.
You do know that half our listeners don't know what Emergency Ward 10.
I know.
Or Dr. Finlay.
I would assume that it is a lot more than half don't know what Emergency
you're
Ward 10 is.
You're talking about Z cars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Dixon or Doc Green, anyone?
Yeah. I just had to invoke an interrupt there. Otherwise,
it was very sweet of you to ask, though, because I have not been able to get it off my chest.
Well, you kind of have now. Although we could have gone on for a little while about that.
Oh, there's more of it. Yeah, I'll tell you next week.
Yeah, I shall look forward to the next
when
instalment.
When the news comes on, I can tell you, I can regale you with more tales of the NHS.
Anyway, 8 minutes into the start of the show, I'd now like to tell you who our show sponsor is for this
like
week.
I would like to know.
And the Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East. They're an independent new and used vehicle suppliers and service provider. They supply car and light commercial vehicles utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operator services. You can find out all about what they do by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. Now, we would like to hear from somebody else, not just Jules, which would be lovely. So you can get in touch with us, as usual, by dropping either me, Vanilla Webb, or Jules Serkin, a tweet and use the hashtag BBunker, and we shall read it out. We have had quite a few tweets already. We had a lovely tweet first thing from MPSL, Michael Park Surveyors over there in Medway. Asking for a shout-out, so a big shout-out to MPSL. Give them a follow on the Twitter, MPSL on the Twitter. Michael Park Surveyors, all things commercial property in the southeast of England, based in Rochester. Bev and Tony, the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks. It's Tuesday, and it just wouldn't be Tuesday without the Business Bunker radio show supporting small businesses through and beyond the pandemic. You can catch up with it anytime if you can't listen to it live at 1 o'clock. So thank you, Bev and Tony.
I've got quite a few chips and dinks that need doing. Have you?
I have, yeah.
I've got a little list I'm compiling.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job on your car on fixing chips and dinks
Stone
on your
bath.
Car. But they do loads of other things as well. My dining room table, they completely resprayed it a different colour, made a fabulous job of it. They recycle stuff. They do all kinds of stuff.
They upcycle, I think it's
called.
They
upcycle, they incycle, they reverse cycle.
Bicycle.
They unicycle. They do all kinds of cycling. Yeah, absolutely.
I had a bit of a shock actually coming in because
plug your finger into the plug hole.
No, listening to the news, they're saying now that they're looking at having gas boilers removed in the next 4 years. It's a bit freaky.
It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. But what they're trying to do, because there's no replacement for them, what they're saying is that there'll be no new build gas boilers.
Oh, okay.
So when you build a new house, you won't be able to install a gas boiler within the next 4 years.
You have to have a windmill on your roof.
You have to have a windmill, or you have to have a heat pump, or you have to. They're touting hydrogen boilers, but seeing as no such thing exists, that's not going to happen at the moment. In Gateshead, I believe, there's a trial going on in which they've put hydrogen into the gas network. So they've mixed it. Mm. So it's a mixture of gas and hydrogen, and that's a trial that's going on at the moment to see if that works.
But, you know, I've heard very mixed reviews, because I know Bob Beattie, our dear friend on Bunker, has given us quite a lot of info on heat pumps and things, ground source. But you do hear a lot of mixed messages on it, whether they are good or not.
Yeah.
And also, new builds are not being built with solar panelling still, from what I can see, around where I live, Thanet and stuff.
No, absolutely. It's not joined up. It's just all virtue signalling. They come out with these things without any thought to the practicality of actually doing something about it.
I was talking to the builder next door to me today. Lovely people, incredibly noisy. They're demolishing something. But he said there's a shortage of cement. They can't get cement. Mm. Now, years ago, the UK used to produce cement.
Yeah.
But now, I think it comes from Egypt or somewhere. I don't know where it comes from. Why are you laughing?
No, it's not particularly related. It's just many years ago I used to work.
You're Egyptian,
No, I used to work as a speaker on the speaking circuit.
Yeah.
And I got a gig to speak at the British Cement Conference. Right. However, I delivered my talk, which was set in stone.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I had all those hardened jokes.
You really trowel it on,
yeah,
don't you?
I trowel it on. No. I had all those jokes. But I actually delivered the speech from the bar of the Rover's Return.
Did you?
Yes.
Where is the Rover's Return?
It's in the Granada TV studios in Manchester.
Okay.
And that's where the conference was for the British Cement Association. And all the talks were done from behind. It was brilliant.
Did Elsie Tanner come?
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Ina Sharp.
Yeah. They were all there. Minnie Colwell, they were all there. Yeah, Len Fairclough, the lot, they were all there. I stood behind the bar, leaning on a pump, doing this random of silly puns about concrete.
But, as far as I know, Egypt, and I would think probably maybe Romania or Czechoslovakia or places like that.
Yeah.
So huge shortage of concrete and building supplies and even glass. Yeah. I paid for some PVC doors in end of February, and I'm still waiting for the glass to actually go in. So my guy said, I've got your doors, Jules, but the bad news is there's no glass. So
useful.
Yeah, it's holding up a whole room, you know, and I've got this little conveyor belt of people waiting to come in that they can't come in till the doors are done. You know, it's mad. Because, you know, further on in the bunker in June, I think, we've got my lovely Venetian plaster.
Oh, you got your Venetian plaster coming on, haven't
Socrates.
You?
Socrates. I mean, that's very highbrow, that name, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Imagine your mum and dad calling you Socrates.
Yeah.
You say it so well.
We've had a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings. We have that Tuesday feeling as it's Business Bunker Day. Jules, did you know that today, the 18th of May, is National Cheese Soufflé Day?
Oh, I'd love a soufflé and a cheese one, I mean, to boot.
And they say, guess what we're having for tea? Soufflé. Have a great show, Vanilla Webb, and don't mention the cup final. No, we won't mention the cup final. That was ridiculous.
You know I know nothing about football.
VAR, don't bother about it.
What is VAR?
It's the video referees. They always get it wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've heard that. Even I know that.
Yeah. M Farmers Market, if you could give, Business Bunker, if you could give a quick mention for Westmoreland Farmers Market this Sunday, 23rd of May, 9:30 to 1:30, that would be amazing. We have a great selection of food, drink and some craft available. Thank you, they say. Give them a follow on the Twitter. M Farmers Market is their Twitter handle as well. So Westmoreland Farmers Market, Sunday the 23rd, 9:30. Be there.
Do support your locals. You remember, you know, how hard they get up early, they get all their stalls put up in the wind and rain and everything. Because the weather has been inclement, hasn't it, Paul?
It's been raining, yeah.
It has.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a little email, and it's from the lovely folks at Athelbrae, who have, of course, their hound that seems to appear and do most of the work, as far as I can see, aside with some little lolling about that it does, little Labrador. They say, we're not around on Tuesday for the show, Business Bunker, using the hashtag, but could you share this link? And they say it's important that employers realise the impact of the situation, not only affecting their female staff, but also the men who may be living with the effects at home and struggling to help. And the Right Honourable Elizabeth Truss, who's an MP, which area is she? Do you know Elizabeth Truss?
Well, she's the Trade Secretary, but she's also the Secretary for Women.
Okay.
Yeah.
So make menopause matter in healthcare, the workplace and education. And there is a hashtag for that, which is make menopause matter. Sign the petition. So we're going to put the link onto the Business Bunker website after the show, and you can go onto that and sign that petition. It's about managing and probably supporting women that are going through menopause, but also how it might affect the family, especially the poor husband who may be getting the wrong end of the hen pecking. If it's out in the open and talked about, more will be done to provide support. And having had a hysterectomy at 29, put into menopause overnight, don't think it's an age-related issue either. Thank you from the folks at Athelbrae. So, yeah, young menopause can be, you know, you're probably bringing up a family as well, and not great. I take bioidentical HRT, just a little cream that I rub in to my thighs every morning and every evening. Because did you know, Paul Andrews, that you absorb through your skin?
Is that right?
Whatever you put on.
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Jules has quite finished. I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Oh, what is it? Well, cheesy souffle?
No. It's in line with our next guest. It's very tenuous because but that's the whole point of cheesy tunage.
You sit up all night thinking of tenuous
but you'll get this straight away because you're hard to defeat at the best of times.
Well, I have got the bad brain damage at the moment.
But this is an easy one.
Oh, I know this. It's Jimmy Ruffin or someone. It's
Paul Simon.
Oh, Paul Simon, yeah. I know this. It's... I know it really well. Yeah, I could not... No, I would not give
you...
Mother and thing reunion. Mother and child reunion.
Of course it is.
Logic. But the mother and child reunion is only a motion away. Care for the life of me. Remember a Saturday. I know they say let it be, it just don't work out that way. And the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. No, I would not give you false hope on the strange. Just can't believe it so, though it seems strange to say, I've never been late so low, such a mysterious way, and the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. But I would not give you false hope on this strange and
see what I did there.
Very good.
Mother and child reunion.
Yeah.
And that's
love Paul Simon.
Yeah, that's in line with our next guest, our first guest on this week's show. I caught up a couple of days ago with Jenny Bailey. Jenny is the co-founder of Tales from Mother Earth.
Brilliant.
Did you see what I did there?
I did. I'm very impressed. You just sat up all night. You and Paul Simon.
It took me ages to think of that.
Yeah.
Funny enough...
We need more Paul Simon in our life.
Well, funny enough, there were actually loads and loads of tracks on our database about mother, about nature and all kinds of things. Mm. The trouble was, All the songs were horrible.
A bit dreary.
They were all really dreary.
I was just thinking, didn't Paul McCartney and Wings do one?
Yeah, Paul McCartney did one. It was called Mother Nature, and I thought, that's perfect, and I played it, and it was horrible.
A bit dreary.
It was a dirge. It was horrible.
Oh, well, you could always record your own. I'd love to hear
it. I could have done, but Paul Simon beat me to it, so I thought we'd do that.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, shall we hear from Jenny?
I would really like to.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Stay tuned.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, Jenny Bailey. Jenny is the co-founder of Tales from Mother Earth. Jenny, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling the listeners a little bit about Jenny?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Paul. It's lovely to be here. I really, really do appreciate it. My goodness, a little bit about Jenny, but we've only got 20 minutes, right?
Yep.
Okay, a little bit about Jenny. Well, Jenny's been brought up in Brabourne and Smeath. My father was a policeman and my mum was a nurse, so I lived in a police house for a while. Long story short, really, I've always loved nature, and now I'm a parent. I've always considered my children. I'm very keen on my children to learn how important nature is and how much we need to respect it for future generations. So that's a snapshot about me, really.
Okay, but you have
I'm a local girl.
But you have got a bit of experience in media as well, haven't you?
I have got a bit of experience in media. I worked for Jazz FM for a while in London, which was a great opportunity, and I loved working in radio. I really did.
Yeah.
I also did hospital radio because kind of fancied myself as a bit of a presenter for a while, so I did hospital radio as well.
Oh, fabulous!
Thought I could be the next Zoe Ball. but then later on from there, I was also hosting podcasts and webinars for an organisation where I used to work as well. So broadcasting and radio is such a fantastic medium.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It is good fun. Absolutely. Okay, so you have this interest and this passion about nature and the world around us. Mm-hmm. So talk us through when you decided to launch your organization, what the impetus for that actually was.
Absolutely.
And how it went.
I blame it all on Sir David Attenborough. I mean, he's an amazing inspiration. It was the Blue Planet effect. It was the War on Plastic effect. It was Life on Earth effect. Mm. And it was him, really. I've been brought up with all his programs, and he's brought us the most amazing images and knowledge, really, of animals and biodiversity from around the world. And so I've always listened to him, and it always seems to be more recently he's pleading with us to do something. Mm-hmm. And back in 2019, I actually heard him say the words that the Garden of Eden was no more.
Right.
And that, Paul, really hit me.
Yeah.
It really hit me like a truck, because I just thought, it's not that it's disappearing or that it's in trouble or that it's declining. No more is no more. It's gone. I just thought, I need to do something. I need to jump into this space, and I need to do something to make me feel better, because I was feeling really, really awful. I'm a parent. I'm a mother, and I'm bringing my children up to respect nature, and I wanted them to have what I had, where you could go out and you could see nature around you and you can be part of it, and the benefits for children in nature are huge.
Sure.
So I wanted all that. So when I heard him say that, I just thought, I need to do more. So we were already doing beach cleans. We were already putting nest boxes up in the woods and everything like that. We were going out picking up litter. But when he said that, I thought, no, there's got to be something more. And around that time also, there was a big report came out about the decline of the insects, and particularly the bees, and how much they were in trouble.
Yep.
So I'm not a gardener in any way, shape or form, but I went out and bought stack loads of lavender because I knew lavender was good for bees, planted my garden up. And again, I needed to do something more. So by chance conversation, really, with a friend who's a continuity announcer,
right,
I thought, let's get into this space and let's do something. So it's amazing. Since then, I've brought on board a composer, an amazing illustrator, a story editor, myself as the author, and then my other co-founder as our narrator, and who's actually Mother Earth. And we've put together a series of audio picture storybooks. So it's a book and CD set for children from the ages of 3 years up to 10 years, that's really teaching them the importance of wildlife, and and also how we can help it.
Right.
So within our book, for instance, our first book, which is Phoebe the Bee, teaching right. children how important bees are, because I don't think children really realise how important they are.
Right.
They know they make honey and they know they maybe sting on occasions, but we're actually going into primary schools now and we're engaging with children.
Right.
We're showing them through a process of our Phoebe the Bee story workshop how important bees are, how long they've been on the earth, what's pollination all about, the right. benefits of bees and knowing bees and what they can do and the symbiotic relationship they have with plants. And
yeah.
and we're really opening children's ideas and understanding up to how important they are, because once they understand how important they are, then they can understand how to look after them and the need to look after them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just green space, you know, we build yeah. houses now with no gardens, you know, so fewer and fewer children yeah. experience right. even a back garden, you know, even a bird table. And I want to talk about that in a minute because I've got big trouble with my bird table.
But you're right. The more we're building houses, the more we're taking away from nature. And really, we need to be giving something back.
Yeah.
We need to, in the big scheme of things and the big scale looking at this, we need to live more in harmony with nature.
Right.
But I think it starts in education. And we're looking at the younger market of that education, the primary school, the Key Stage 1, Key Stage 2.
Yeah.
And by giving them an audio picture storybook that's got music in it, Mother Earth is narrating the story to the children.
Yeah.
So she's coming across as as kind of an authority figure, but who's nurturing and who commands nature.
Yeah.
So we've got that, and we've got a read-along version, we've got a puzzle in the book, we've got a colouring in picture, and we've got the most important conservation messages in there of how people can get involved.
Right.
We've also got fun facts. For instance, did you know that honeybees produce a 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in their lifetime?
Yeah.
I mean, that blows people's minds away.
Honey is one of the most amazing substances, though. For most of human history, it was used as much as a medicine as a food. And I don't know if you came across this, but I may have got this slightly wrong, although I know that the age is true. I think it was in Pompeii, but it may not have been. They found a pot of honey, and the pot of honey was therefore 2,000 years old, and it was still edible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Honey never goes off, and
yeah.
it's got all the enzymes in it to make it a complete food. It's an incredible substance. It's liquid gold. And you're right, it's used for medicinal purposes as well.
Yeah.
It's the health benefits of it are huge. They really are. I mean, if we've all got a sore throat and a cold, what do we go for? We reach for honey and lemon, don't we?
Absolutely.
Because the benefits of that are so great, and we're all aware of it. But
yeah.
what we wanted to do was really teach children how important bees are. For instance, we take it back down to their lunchbox. For instance, when we talk to children, we get them all in front of us and say, well, who's got an apple in their lunchbox, or who's got a pear, or who's got some bananas, or who's got some grapes? I mean, yeah. every plant that you can think of that is the product or the crop that we consume, if it's a plant and it has a flower on it, there's an 80% chance that it's a bee that's actually pollinated that to get that to our fork.
Absolutely.
As it were.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I like, when the story first broke about bees and the problems that we were causing the bee population, some yeah. people actually put them, you know, went and did something about it.
I
own a business in Canterbury, and one of the things that they did in Canterbury is the Whitefriars Shopping Centre. They built a meadow garden on the roof with beehives. And they've got
yeah.
loads of beehives. So Canterbury is alive with bees at the moment, and the bees flying to Danejohn Gardens and all the rest of it. But there's this garden on the roof of a shopping centre. So it shows you, even in an urban built-up area, you can do things.
Absolutely, you can. And you've hit it on there, because we also belong to the Green Roof Organisation, which
okay.
is the body, if you like, for green roofs and people working with green roofs. And there are so many green roofs being planned and organised and done, and it's incredible. So London is ablaze with bees on the top of hotels, for instance, and some of the stores, some of the big stores. I think Harrods have their own honey. So, I mean, they're all doing that, but everyone's getting more bees. But what we actually need is more forage. We actually need more wildflowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we're requesting, yeah. really, in our book, for children to plant wildflowers and to see the benefits of... I don't think there's anything better, really, for a child, really, to plant a wildflower and to see...
Yeah.
A life form come and benefit from their actions.
Absolutely.
That's improving imprinting on that child something incredible and that will stay with them forever.
Absolutely.
And we want to be part of that process. We want to perpetuate that feeling of I've done something and I've made a difference. And I think that's so important for children to to capture, and also for the benefit of the wildlife in the area as well. They can make a real difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm really lucky where I live, my house. It's got nothing to do with being bone idle, I assure you. I have a wild garden.
Well done. That's fantastic.
It's not because I don't like mowing the lawn or anything. No, honestly, it's not. But I'm really lucky. I have a large lake and I have a bluebell wood in my garden.
Oh, wow.
And we have badgers and foxes. And the only thing that drives me nuts is I've got Mexican squirrels. And
Mexican squirrels.
Yeah, I know they're Mexican. And this is how I know they're Mexican, okay? They are an absolute nuisance with my bird tables because they jump up on the bird tables and nick all the food. So the RSPB recommended that what I did was mix all the bird food with chili powder. Because squirrels don't like chili and birds don't care.
Well, it's the Mexican, right?
Clearly, I've got Mexican squirrels because they eat
love
a lot. And I have little sombreros fantastic. And everything. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I love, we've got squirrels in the garden here too. And yes, they do go for the bird food, but they have to eat too. It's one of those things. So, it's no mow at the moment as well. So congratulations for obviously not going out and mowing the lawns, because in a way, sometimes with nature, the less we can do in our gardens, the better for nature.
Absolutely.
And in a way, we need to step back from our garden. We need to let the dandelions grow and the daisies grow.
Well,
because, they're the first food for bees and bees need them.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I've done is I've built dead hedges around my land, and that enables birds to nest and stuff like that. So I get a lovely array of birds. I've actually got a tame pheasant as well.
Oh, wow. Really?
And the pheasant arrives in my garden, comes up to the back door, pecks on the back door. I come out and give it some food and then it flies off. It's really weird. And it's been doing that for a couple of years. But and I quite often plant wildflower seeds where I need to, where I've got a bull patch or whatever. But that's the thing.
The best thing about wildflowers is when you get the seeds, you literally throw them.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even need to plant them, do you? It's literally throwing them onto the ground. And sometimes the worse the ground, the better the take is going to be of the wildflowers.
Mm.
So it's incredible. If
absolutely.
They can take hold, they will.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Coming back to the resources that you're making available to young people,
mm-hmm.
It's a book, and did you say it's a CD and audio?
Yes, it's a book with a CD in it, so it's a book and CD set. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
For age that's perfect for the ages really of a 3-year-old up to a 10-year-old,
right.
Because what we've done is put lots of stimulus in it with the puzzles, with the fun facts that children just completely engage with, with the colouring in pictures, with the conservation message, with the story itself within the pictures, and also obviously on the audio tracks that's going to keep a child active and learning as their abilities of learning can develop.
Now If you don't mind, I mean, it's fascinating talking to you about the whole birds and the bees and nature and everything. If I may, though, I'd like to just concentrate for a minute or two on the business aspect of what you're doing.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Because obviously a lot of our audience are business owners or wannabe business owners, and they're always interested in the process and how people do things.
Sure.
So from a business point of view, you have this resource, a book and a CD, and presumably you're selling it.
Yes. Yes, we're selling it online from our website, from talesfromotherearth.co.uk. Yep.
Fantastic. And at the moment, who is your target market for that? Are you targeting parents, presumably?
Yes, we are targeting parents. We're also targeting schools.
Mm.
And we also work with organisations for their CSR, which is corporate social responsibility. Like, for instance, organisations are coming to us, they're purchasing our books, 20, 30, 40 upwards, and actually donating them to primary schools.
Right,
And so that's really helping them with their CSR sustainability objectives as well.
Yeah.
So there's different schools of thought in terms of our paths to our business. There's, yes, the website. There's, yes, obviously through the schools as well, when we go out and do our school story assemblies. Yeah. We took part in the Youth Climate Summit last year as well. So that gave us more coverage, if you like, across the country. Right. We're also working with partners as well. We've partnered with Green Jumper Day, which has a special day on the 26th of November where everyone has to wear a green jumper, raising obviously awareness of climate change. Right. They're all about engaging the next generation, and obviously we're all about engaging the next generation. So if there's primary schools out there that want to do a non-uniform day, for instance, they can register with Green Jumper Day and they'll receive a bundle of books for free.
Oh, wow.
So that's, that's another opportunity that we're working with, because it just makes sense that we've aligned ourselves with organisations that understand what we're trying to achieve. And the synergies are really, really strong. And I'm happy to work and develop with organisations and individuals that understand. And I think collaboratively, always, we can always achieve more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's interesting. I may have missed it, but I think you said that you actually do go into schools and tell your story in schools. Yeah, I think that's really important, you know, because kids like to hear it firsthand. And it's nice to buy the resources and have the resources. But for someone to come along with passion like yourself and tell people all about it, I think that really engages the kids. And then what we need is someone to sponsor the wildflower seeds that you can take, don't we? So that you can give
Absolutely.
All the kids a packet of wildflowers and go plant.
Well, we do. Yeah. We actually do that. We also work in with Singleton Environment Centre, which have been fantastic, and they've supplied us our seeds. So when we do go into schools and we do quizzes in schools and that kind of thing, and with the books, we give out the Singleton little packets of wildflower seeds, which are fantastic.
Yeah.
So children can literally, I mean, when they leave our sessions, they're buzzing with excitement, pardon the pun, but they know what they need to do. They know how important bees are. They know why they're in decline. They know how long they've been with us. And when we do the whole timeline, they sort of look in history and we go, okay, well, bees have, you know, they're in trouble in this section, but they've been with us from all of this section moving down. And when you put that into perspective for a child, they go, okay, we can fix that. And they get positive about it, which is really good. Yeah. And also, like you said, Paul, there is nothing more rewarding to us than engaging directly with children, because they get it. Yeah. They get it. They're passionate about it. They want to join the crusade, as it were. They want to stand up, and we really inform them as well that you know, no one is too small to make a difference.
Yeah.
And they feel empowered by that. The fact that they can help, the fact they can go out and they can make bee bombs and they can plant wildflower seeds and they can see, you know, tend a flower or a bloom that's going to be growing, watering it daily, and then actually seeing that bee that comes along and those pollinators and the benefit that they can get, knowing that they've done that action themselves.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's a really important part of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, I just want to kind of finish up on a couple of things. As an organisation, what are your plans? Where do you intend to take this? How do you intend to develop the organisation?
Well, thank you for that question. Yeah, that's something we've been considering, because I got carried away. I've written 7 stories now.
Oh, okay.
So there's Phoebe the Bee, there's Spike the Hedgehog, there's Bandit the Blue Tit, there's Sunny the Swift. And it's really, this is all in the Tales from the Countryside series.
Right.
So we've got 7 stories now in the Tales from the Countryside series. So depending on how we go, really, we're a fledgling organisation. We really are. We turned into a limited company about 3 or 4 months ago, and we're a fledgling. So we're out there with passion and desire to connect with organisations, to work with like-minded organisations that are obviously understanding what we're all trying to achieve. And we're the new kids on the block in some respects.
Right.
But that's what we're looking to do. So our goal is for our books to get into little people's hands to make a difference.
Right.
So I'm talking to garden centres, I'm talking to gift centres, I'm talking to shopping centres, everybody at the moment, because I really feel that our books can make a difference. And we're being told, which is amazing, and from the feedback we're getting, that our books are really making a difference. There's children out there that have been scared of bees, and now they know Phoebe. They're not scared of bees anymore, and they know that they need to protect them.
Yeah.
And that for us is huge reward, in the respect that our book is making a difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that is part of the overall benefit of doing what you do, is that it it minimises the fear that young people have of bees and spiders and other slow worms and all the other things that, you know, scare the life out of us if we don't know anything about them.
That's the thing. It's all about education, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And engagement. And, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? It's about engaging people and it's not just, you know, sitting in a classroom and telling them. It's actually showing them and engaging with them and letting them run around outside and look at things.
But it's also at the moment we need to consider that, you know, we're in a bit of a pickle at the moment, aren't we, in terms of the environment, in terms of what's happening out there. Yeah. So there is a real strong need behind our organisation to make contact with children, to make contact with those parents as well, to get people to realise that there is an importance. You know, I think Einstein said, and I don't want to be an alarmist in any way at all, but Einstein said, if bees go, we go 4 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, the service that bees provide for us with pollination to our food intake is massive.
Mm.
So, you know, there is a real cause and a mission behind behind this venture. Yeah. There really is. Yes, to engage children, but obviously also to get that message out there. Because while you're engaging children, I'm hoping also to engage the adults that might be a bit blinkered and that might be a little bit oblivious, because some people are, to the plight of nature and how nature is connected with our existence.
Yeah, I do find that young kids are great at training their parents.
They are indeed. Yes, they are indeed, which is a great thing.
Having a 9-year-old hanging around, I know that from first-hand experience. Absolutely. Jenny, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on the show. You can buy your book and CD and the resources and find out all about Tales from Mother Earth on your website. So give us a shout out for your website so that people know where to come and look.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Paul. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you this afternoon. Our website is talesfrommotherearth.co.uk. There you'll also find a short audio snippet of Mother Earth actually narrating part of Phoebe the Bee as well, so you can get an understanding that it's a whole production. It's the music, it's the narration, it's the story, and that's what's there's 4 audio tracks that come with the book as well. So we've composed our own music as well, and let me just say quickly, one of those pieces of music is the lullaby, because I know when we recorded it I fell asleep. And it settles children beautifully, because when we tested it in nurseries, the children were all zonked out on the floor after buzzing around like pretending to be bees. Fantastic. To Phoebe's theme, which is the other piece of music. So, yes, we're on talesfromotherearth.co.uk. The books are only £9.99, and we're trying to get a packet of seeds going out with everyone at the moment as well. We're working in with lots of stockists in the Kent area and also in Hampshire. So you should be able to see us in some of the zoos and the farm parks and Kent Wildlife Trust and places like that as well, which we're delighted to be working with. We're also on Twitter at Tales Mother. We're also on Facebook at TF Mother Earth. And also, if there's people out there, which I hope there is, who are really interested in sharing conservation tips, ideas and stories, I've also started a group on Facebook called Mother Earth and Me. So Tales from Mother Earth, run it, but it's where we can all learn from each other and share our conservation tips, ideas and stories. And that's got about 500 members in it currently, and it's growing steadily. So come and join us there as well.
I certainly will, and I'm sure lots of other people will too. Jenny, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for spending the time to talk to us on the Business Bunker Show. We wish you continued and much, much success with your project. It's a fabulous thing you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.
The Kelly Turner Foundation. In 2021, R. Kelly would have been 21 years old. Unfortunately, DSRCT cancer took her life. There is still no cure or chemo for DSRCT. Please help us celebrate Kelly's 21st by supporting our fundraising for research by the Institute of Cancer Research. Please Google Kelly Turner Just Giving and donate to save teenage lives. Thank you.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook. and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was the lovely Jenny Bailey from Tales from Mother Earth.
I do love a bee. And she's right. And did she, because I didn't miss catch all of it, but did she talk about the pollinators and the pesticides that we're using?
Effectively, yeah. I mean, we didn't go into the pesticide side of it. We talked about the damage done to bees and if we kill them off, how soon afterwards the rest of us get killed off if they're not there pollinating
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, but it's great. And I love the fact that she's got the book out and everything. So, and telling children about it. And I remember when I was at primary school, we had, to make sugar water for the bees.
Did you?
Yeah, it was rather sweet. I wonder whether they still have sugar water. Yeah, because it's probably not very healthy for a bee.
I don't know.
It's much better to just have a little flower, isn't it? A little sunflower.
Well, yeah. I mean, flowers is what they do, isn't it?
I've left a little wild bit in our garden. We haven't got a very big garden at the back, but we've made a let the grass grow long in an area and leaving all the daisies and buttercups and dandelions. It's really nice to see all the butterflies and bees coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love a bee and I love honey, Kentish honey.
Oh, yeah.
I always have it with lemon in the morning, a little hot lemon, freshly squeezed.
First what, in thing. A drink?
Yeah, first thing.
Not on your toast?
No, first thing with my little pillow propped up in the morning.
All right.
Yeah, about 7:30.
Cool. Right, I've had a tweet. We got tons of stuff. We got absolutely tons of stuff. We've got another guest to talk to, and we're not going to get through all of this week. I don't know why we were delayed starting the show.
Well, you know, public awareness.
Public information about Jules's medical history.
Yeah. And Margate. I didn't even really get you started on
that. No. We got a whole series here, folks. Don't you worry about it. Fort Burgoyne Weddings. Fort Burgoyne is available to hire for your corporate events, training, networking, team building, with catering facilities on site. We're really flexible, so why not book a time to visit us and see what we have to offer? There's the easiest way to do this. There's a link here, but I can't really read it. The easiest way is to follow them on Twitter, which is Fort, F-O-R-T, Weddings. Fort Weddings, all one word, is their Twitter handle. Give them a follow. It's a new wedding and corporate event centre. I think it's in Dover area, is it? Fort Burgoyne?
It is. It's in the Dover area.
Yeah.
And that would be great because, of course, now we're sort of allowed a bit of freedom. You know, how many are allowed in a wedding now? Is it 30?
Yeah.
Well, there were more than
that.
Or
is that a funeral?
There were more.
Same thing, really, isn't it?
Well, no, not really. One's jolly. One is not
or a
jolly.
Funeral.
It depends. I remember my dear dad, when he passed over, I played for his going out sort of thing, as you call it. What do you call that? The exit.
Yeah.
I played Max Bygraves, You Need Hands. You Need
yeah,
Hands.
Yeah.
Because he used to love Max Bygraves.
Right.
Again, we've lost all the younger listeners. But and I have quite a religious auntie who's his sister, and she's a Methodist. She was quite shocked at the frivolity of it all. But it was kind of uplifting and nice, really.
Cool.
What would you have played at your funeral as you exit?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
Well, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, obviously. Right, anyway, we've got to crack on. It's time for the FSB News Roundup. Let's do that.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Okay, I'm going to give you a number of events that are taking place. These are all online at the moment. And at the end of them, I will give you the link that you need for all of them to go and find out more and to book your place on them, should you so desire.
Fabulous.
There's an FSB webinar using Instagram to market your business taking place this Thursday, the 20th of May at 11 a.m. Join Joe Booth of Social Media Makes Sense for this virtual session focused on demystifying Instagram. On Wednesday, the 26th of May, there's Maidstone Virtual Networking hosted by Peter Searle. It's free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Welcome, everyone is welcome. And the guest speaker is Stephanie Unthank, who is the Director of Infinity Wellness. On Thursday, the 27th of May, there's a Kent Women in Enterprise virtual networking. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. This event is hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. And then on Wednesday, the 2nd of June at 11 a.m, there's Preparing to Bid Within the Public Sector for Small Businesses. This is a masterclass that will focus on showcasing how small businesses can find opportunities that are small business friendly within the public sector and to bid for public sector work. That's Wednesday, the 2nd of June, 11 a.m. And then there's Kent Women in Enterprise, Tuesday, the 8th of June at 11 a.m. This is another virtual networking event. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB North Kent area host Sue Hainsby of Carlene Lettings, and the guest speaker at this event is the fantastic Jade Pluck of Jade Consultancy. So all of those events, you can find out more details about them and you can book your place. Most of them, I think all of them are free actually. Book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. There's FSB Employment Protection Services is here to make your life easier with advice and guidance on employment legislation. To find out more, go to fsb.org.uk/benefits. That's fsb.org.uk/benefits. On the same Twitter page, on the same web page, there's FSB Debt Recovery for implementing and managing your business's credit control process. There's an event tomorrow, manana, the 19th of May. As you open your business and look to the future, make sure you have all the tools to hand to make the most opportunities as they arise. Join us for Get the Tools to Future-Proof Your Business, an online event at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, the 19th of May. You can find out about that by going to fsb.org.uk/protectingyourbusiness. That's fsb.org.uk/protectingyourbusiness. And then how to make your tax return less stressful with our tax experts' top tips for filling out your self-assessment. If you want help with that, if you go to fsb.org.uk/resources/7 tips for completing your self-assessment. So that's help with doing your tax returns on the fsb.org.uk website. There's also some on-demand podcasts, so you can listen to this at any time. Keep connected. Productivity tips for home and hybrid working. If you go to firstvoice.fsb.org.uk, firstvoice.fsb.org.uk, you can find all these on-demand podcasts and webinars. Also listed there is how to launch an e-commerce business during the pandemic and beyond, and how to grow your business with better IT. All of those can be found at firstvoice.fsb.org.uk. And that's the FSB news for this week.
Very elegant, eloquent.
A bit speedy.
Yeah, but not too much lip smacking there going on. Yeah. Did you see that we've had a tweet from our previous guest? Well, first of all, Fort Burgoyne Weddings has said, "Yeah, you said you love bees, Jewel Serkin. We now have 3 beehives at the fort. So that will be honey for the honeymoon, no doubt."
I see what you did there.
Yeah, sat up all night doing that. And then there was the Brum Man that was on your show the other week. You know,
right? Yeah.
What was his? I've seen him on Twitter somewhere. We'll have to look for him.
Yeah, James Prop Maker.
Yeah. He's popped up with his Brum things.
Diamond Circle Weddings has got a picture of a squirrel.
A bee?
No, a squirrel.
A Mexican one.
Yeah, a Mexican squirrel. Not only do we like to eat chili, we also like to play Mexican music. And they got a squirrel banjo player.
Arriba. Yeah. The next meeting of the Marsh Network online is at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, the 26th of May. That's my birthday. birthday, Paul Andrews.
I know.
I shall be frolicking at Reeds for the
You'll
whole
be doing
day.
What? And
frolicking.
Oh, frolicking. Right.
At Reeds with my new husband. We're only allowed six people, otherwise I'd invite you. You could come, but you'd have to sit on another table. Which
yeah, it's fine. I could cope with that.
But if I held a funeral, you could come.
Yeah.
Mind you, the way my head is, you know, you never know. So you can book now for the Marsh Network on Wednesday the 26th of May by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk to ensure your place. And all meetings until the end of July are available to book. And their fabulous speaker will be Sue Harbottle Sear. I do love her name. Harbottle hyphen Sear, S-E-A-R. She's from Concepts, that's K-O-N-Z. E-P-T-S. I just went all American then. I said Z. Don't know why. Who will be telling us how branding can change the perception of your business. And they still have a few first-timers that come free. It's a little offer they have. And you can email terry@botfield.net to get your free first-timers ticket. And there'll be organisations from across Kent and Sussex for the style of relaxed professional networking to grow your network and your business. There's no joining fees and no membership fees. So see you soon, says Terry Botfield. And you can follow him on the Twitter at the fabulous at TDBotty. That's B-O-T-T-Y with the hashtag MarshBizCoach.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Bowden PR. Bowden, B-O-W-D-E-N. Bowden PR is their Twitter handle. We'd love a shout out for all the businesses across the county who can now reopen after such a difficult time. Amen to that. We agree with that. Thank you. That's Christina from Bowden PR. Totally and utterly agree. It's so nice that businesses can now start to reopen.
It is. Well, I went to my local eatery in Whitstable High Street. First one, Monday. It was so nice. And it was just a really nice vibe. I had a full English. And it was great. And the staff were just so happy to be back. It was great. Every table was full.
Absolutely. One more. I've got another tweet here.
Are you on it?
Yeah. Collector's Buddy, Martin Reeve. The Twitter handle is buddy_museum. He collects things and sells them for charity. It's a great initiative that he's got going, so give him a follow on the Twitter. Buddy museum_buddy. Hold on, let's get this right now. Buddy_museum. Go on, sorry, I interrupted you.
There's a pub and brewery giant that is Shepherd Neame, and they're to hire 300 new staff as it prepares to open the doors on all its pubs and hotels over the coming weeks. And the Faversham-based firm has 312 pubs and hotels across the South East, and it's able to open 75% for outside service last month. And we were saying earlier on, weren't we, Paul Andrews, that the jobs vacancies market has just gone bonkers, hasn't it?
You can't find applicants for anything. There's so many jobs about and you just can't get anyone to do them at the moment.
No, exactly. And I would like a big shout out to Adam Mikowski.
Adam's Cars.
Yeah, our friend. I think he's Adam's Cars 5, isn't he? Or something.
Yes.
It might be 53. I've forgotten. I'll look in.
Adam Cars 5.
But I've just hired him to collect my mum from acupuncture tomorrow. And he's going to... I didn't want to get in on the bus and she's a bit wobbly, especially after acupuncture. So he's picking her up and taking her back home. So if you do need a lift and you're in the Canterbury Faversham area, because of course his main bread and butter was airports.
Yeah.
You know, chauffeuring to airports. So do support him.
Fantastic. I need to tell you about an event that's coming up.
Yeah.
Digital Twins and the Circular Economy. It's our first virtual business soundbites session, and this is on Wednesday the 6th of June, and it's with the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, and they have three leading academics who will take the floor to explore how innovations in business science are driving increased productivity in our first virtual business soundbite session. The three speakers are Dr. Catherine Robinson, Professor Jesse O'Hanley, and Dr. Virginia Spiegler. If you want to find out more about it, it's taking place on the 16th of June at 12 noon via Zoom. If you go to the following link, you can find out all about it and register your ticket. www.kent.ac.uk/Kent Business School/news. That's kent.ac.uk/Kent Business School/news. You can find out all about digital twins and the circular economy taking place on Wednesday, the 16th of June at 12 noon.
And Dartford logistics firm, the Europa Worldwide Group, is to employ a second intake of graduates and school leavers this year. The firm is headquartered in Shield Road, and they took on 13 young people from last month, and they are now following its success. Europa has announced a second intake in what it calls its Rapid Career Development Programme. The process of video screening, first and second stage interviews, will begin from June, with successful applicants starting to work within the business from September 21. So that's Europa, and they're based in Dartford, and they're a logistics firm.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I think it's about time we join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Already?
What do you reckon?
I reckon we'd love to know what's going on, wouldn't we?
Let's go and hear from you.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.